K540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. This is Labor Day, and the president is celebrating. Correspondent Cammie McCormick has our top story.
President Biden has often called himself the most pro-union president in history.
America's support for union is higher today than any time in nearly 60 years.
And he touted his economic achievements.
I've created nearly 13.5 million jobs, more jobs in 2 years than any president has created in a four-year term. More.
The president calls it one of the strongest job-creating periods in our history.
Mr. Biden says he does not believe United Auto Workers will strike next week. Tens of thousands of people stuck at the Burning Man Festival in Nevada's Black Rock Desert are hoping to get out later today. They've been trapped in a muddy mess since the skies opened up Friday, dropping 3 months' worth of rain in a single day. But some, like Corrine Valdovinos, are embracing the predicament.
We're all here, like, not just surviving, but we're thriving. We're making more connections in our community than we probably would have if everything went perfectly.
At least one death there is blamed on the weather. New study from a Berkeley, California-based think tank finds climate change has raised the risk of explosive wildfire growth in California by 25%. Using artificial intelligence, researchers say warmer weather will continue to drive extreme fires there for decades to come, even if CO2 emissions are reduced. They say on-the-ground solutions like reducing fuel consumption are more important. Kids are headed back to school in Ukraine, some deep underground, as the war with Russia drags into its 19th month. Correspondent MTS Tayab is in Kyiv.
Ukraine's second largest city have set up dozens of improvised classrooms for around 1,000 students in a local subway station. We're trying to do everything possible for our children not to feel this war, the school's director, Ludmila Yusichenko, says. We're trying to create a safe environment for them.
The country's defense minister submitted his letter of resignation this morning. The president says he wants to try a different approach to the war. A Beatle wants his guitar back, and the search is on.
Paul McCartney bought the Hofner bass guitar for $38 in Hamburg, Germany in 1961 as the Beatles were forging the look and the sound that would go on to make them global superstars. He played it on such early hits as She Loves You and Love Me Do. But in 1969, it disappeared. McCartney's urged Hofner to try to track down his beloved instrument, and now a dedicated search committee's been formed to find what it describes as the most important bass in history. Vicki Barker, CBS News, London.
Markets closed this Labor Day. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Labor Day parades and picnics are in full swing across Wisconsin and across the country. A Gallup poll out last week finds 67% of Americans support labor unions. The AFL-CIO's Josh Sword says unions work for fair wages, good benefits, and safe workplaces.
88% of workers 30 and under have a favorable view of unions and the labor movement. So it tells me the workforce of tomorrow believes in the value of what unions do.
Sword encourages people to come out and join Labor Day celebrations to relax, socialize, and learn about organized labor.
Just a great time and opportunity to fellowship with workers and, you know, just to pay homage and respect to what labor has done for this country.
The AFL-CIO polled registered voters of all parties this year. It finds 7 in 10 approve of labor unions and 3 in 4 support workers going on strike. The latest strain of COVID-19 has not turned up in Wisconsin, but experts say they're still concerned. James Kelly reports.
COVID-19 hospital stays in Wisconsin and around the U.S. are on the rise, but they're still close to all-time lows. A new offshoot of the Omicron variant is the cause for concern. There are 3 confirmed cases of BA286 in 3 states, including Michigan. So far, there are no confirmed cases in Wisconsin. Almost everyone in the United States has some protection against severe illness from COVID-19 because of vaccination, previous infection, or both. A new round of booster shots will be available starting later this month, but experts say it's too soon to tell how effective it will be against this new strain. James Kelly, Civic Media News.
The chairman of Wisconsin's Elections Commission says Administrator Megan Wolf should stay on the job at least through next year's election. Don Millis tells WISN-TV's Upfront that Republican senators should not fire her.
I think it would be bad for the election process. I think it would be bad politically for Republicans. So I just think it would be unwise because election security is an important issue and we should be on the right side of that.
Millis says Wolf should have appeared at last week's confirmation hearing, even if lawmakers don't have the power to remove her. Millis says Wolf could have countered the misinformation offered by several people who testified. Meanwhile, a new investigation finds no evidence to support accusations against Wolf. Kathleen Bernier is a former Republican state senator and elections clerk. She tells Wisconsin Watch that Wolf lacks the authority to make the kinds of decisions she's taking heat for. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention finds pregnant women of color complaining about mistreatment from healthcare professionals. Terry D. reports.
Almost one-third of Black or Hispanic patients reported incidents like receiving no response to requests for help, being shouted at or scolded, or not having their physical privacy protected. Some reported being threatened with withholding treatment or made to accept unwanted treatment. The CDC suggests healthcare systems make it a priority to support care that is respectful and considerate of the patient's values, needs, and desires. I'm Terry D. reporting.
Madison police say the community should be on alert after a University of Wisconsin student was nearly beaten to death yesterday morning. Police were still looking for anyone responsible as of early this morning. The woman is in critical condition in a Madison hospital. Meanwhile, campus police are increasing patrols in the area. They're urging people to be aware of their surroundings and never to walk alone at night. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. More news now. The latest heat wave is breaking single-day records in parts of Wisconsin. Madison reached a high of 93 degrees yesterday. That beats the previous record of 92 that was set in 1960. In Milwaukee, yesterday's unofficial highs reached 95 degrees, which is technically tied with the record set in 1939. The National Weather Service says Madison would beat a 100-year-old record today if the mercury climbs to 94. The Waukesha County Executive is supporting state funding for upkeep at American Family Field and keeping the Brewers in Milwaukee. Here's Stuart J. Wattles.
Paul Farrow has voiced his endorsement for state funding to preserve American Family Field, emphasizing its positive impact on the Waukesha County economy. He made those statements during the Milwaukee Business Journal CEO Roundtable. The proposed $290 million cash infusion by Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers aims to guarantee a 20-year lease extension for the Brewers, but it does encounter resistance. That's coming from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Stuart J. Wattles, Civic Media News.
Some communities around Wisconsin are getting vending machines with fentanyl test strips and Narcan. 15 local governments are getting grants for the vending machines from the Department of Health Services. Forward Analytics says that fentanyl is the leading cause of death in Wisconsin for people aged 25 to 54. Wisconsin wildlife officials are looking for whoever shot and killed three trumpeter swans and a great blue heron in northeast Wisconsin last week. The rare birds are protected species. Department of Natural Resources wardens say it happened in the Navarino Wildlife Area near Clintonville. The sentence for killing a protected species in Wisconsin is up to 9 months in jail, $5,000 in fines, and a 3-year ban from hunting. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. It's the final push of summer heat with perfect timing on the holiday. We have a couple of low-pressure systems to our west that continue to surge in the hot temperatures again, with breezy warm winds out of the southwest that will gust up to 20 miles per hour. That will surge in highs that will strike the low to mid-90s, potentially breaking more records. Soak up the abundant sunshine now, because the clouds, storms, and cooler temperatures take over as we transition into the work week. Heat advisories remain in effect near La Crosse and into Superior, where afternoon highs will feel like 98 to 103 degrees. Keep in mind that with the heat and gusty winds, most of the state, especially the southern half, remains in a very high to high fire danger risk. Wildfires can spark and spread in these conditions, so be careful when out grilling today. Have a lovely Labor Day, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates tonight. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers in Pittsburgh to open a series against the Pirates. The Crew losing yesterday 4-2 to the Phillies. Milwaukee was 0-6 and leaving runners stranded in scoring position. Starting pitcher Wade Miley had a no-hitter going with just one batter left in the fifth before Philly got aboard. Miley asked, are the Brewers going to be okay heading into the stretch?
No, I think we're fine. You know, we just got to keep playing one game at a time. Time and the magnitude of each game down the stretch right now is so important. Just being able to go out and wherever we're at, whoever we're playing, and just play clean baseball and keep putting pressure on people.
The Crew opening a three-game series against the Phillies. Game time 5:35. Corbin Burns on the mound tonight for Milwaukee on just how well rookie Bryce Turang has been playing at second.
Yeah, I mean, he played great all year. He's played Gold Glove caliber second base, and rightfully so, should be at the top of that list at the end of the year. The defense he provides us had to save us a ton of runs this year.
NCAA, the Wisconsin Badgers women's volleyball team, ranked number one in the nation, held off number 24th ranked Tennessee 3-2. College football, the Badgers won their home opener 38-17, but Wisconsin did far better in the run game than with their new air raid passing game, including just one touchdown pass and two interceptions for Badgers' new quarterback Tanner Mordecai. Were there some mixed emotions after the game at Coach Luke Fickell?
Yes, you know, there's mixed emotions right now, but as I walked in here, my wife probably tried to remind me to enjoy what you do and winning. And I say that to the guys, but then I walk out and I bite my lip. And in some ways that, you know, I want to make sure that the focus isn't on me or the new or the offense. Or it's about this team to make sure everybody kind of gets themselves centered back into the things that they're supposed to do and need to do and get our minds all focused on what's going to give us a chance to continue to grow and to be successful and play our best ball at the end of the year.
The play of the day was that 89-yard touchdown run by Badgers running back Ches Malusi, who zigged and zagged his way to the goal line.
Yeah, there was a good block on the right side, but they were kind of overfilling that side, and I kind of just cut back and I just hit it. Saw a lane and then just kind of read the perimeter blocking, and my receivers were working hard for me, so I just kind of set some of those blocks up and I was just, you know, bouncing around. I made a play.
Up next, a road trip to Washington State. NFL, the Packers back at work, keeping an eye on players like linebacker Devondre Campbell, who's missed several weeks now with that ankle injury, and wide receiver Romeo Doubs, who has a hamstring. The Packers have a very bright slot receiver picked up in the second round, number 11, Jaden Reed, who played for the Spartans.
Being at Michigan State, you know, we practice like pros. You know, Mel Tucker was in the league for a few years, so he carried a lot of things we do at Michigan State. I think it helped me carry it over to the league easily, and it made my job easier here. So
the Packers face the Bears 3:25 Sunday at Soldier Field. Head coach Matt LaFleur:
the guys that are here earned the right to stay here, so I'm excited about the group and feel really good about just the overall speed, athleticism, and guys that love football and love to compete.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jay. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over, so I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed, so I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lots of sunshine this afternoon with a high of 92. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows level off around 72. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 92. Low 80s Wednesday with a chance for scattered storms. Upper 60s, overcast skies Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 84 degrees.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Today, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, and it is office hours again on this Thursday afternoon. We're joined by Professor John Shelton and the squad, Luke Mathers and Aaron Zommers. Gentlemen, it is always wonderful to be with you. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing well, Will. Glad to be with you on the airwaves here across Civic Media.
I'm also doing well. You know, sometimes Luke says that I'm over here on the board hitting the ones and twos. I have to ask, though, when do I graduate to three?
You don't get it. It's just ones and twos. It's always just ones and twos.
Okay.
And I'm doing great. I mean, the weather is beautiful. Proud Boys are going to jail for long periods of time for trying to overthrow democracy. It's a good day.
Seditious conspiracy. 33 years is what I saw.
Yep.
Yeah, I just saw the headline. So that is hot off the presses. And we're thrilled to be joined by you, Professor Shelton, here on Office Hours, here on Town Call. Will, what are we talking about today?
Well, class is in session in more ways than one, actually. Professor Shelton, does Green Bay start next Tuesday, or have you already started, or what's your schedule looking like in that regard?
No, we start next week after Labor Day. I've never officially checked on this, but I've heard it told that there's a state law that no public schools can start until after Labor Day.
But some of them already have, which is weird, because I thought that was the setup as well,
yeah.
But... Yeah. Will and I were on the air a couple of weeks back now. It was like the middle of August, and I was talking about how we don't need to be talking about back to school quite yet. Like, it's around the corner. You as an educator, I'm sure it comes up much, much sooner in your daily life. But for Will and I, we don't have a whole excuse to jump to the back to school. We are out of school ourselves, and so I was like, why are we discussing this? And one of the excellent listeners texted in saying it was like the middle of August, and MPS had the select group of MPS students were already going back to school, and I was like, I did not know that, because I thought it was after Labor Day, too.
I wonder if that was some kind of carve-out for a magnet school or something like that. There may be some exceptions, but yeah, I mean, as far as I know, most public institutions are not starting until next week.
I would be very frustrated if it was, 2 weeks into August and my summer was over. Now I was getting sent back to school. I still wake up with night terror sweats sometimes, thinking that I'm late for school. Then I'm like, oh, wait, I'm almost 30.
I still get those too, and sometimes I am late.
Yours are applicable, though.
He's got an excuse, Will. You might need to go talk to somebody about that, because that feels an unresolved issue that you should work on.
I got to see a professional to figure this one out.
Yeah, the microphone is not the therapy session that you may think it is sometimes, Will. But we're thrilled to be joined by the professor. And as he's noting, the weather is pretty nice. It's going to be a hot one, though, coming up on Monday, which is Labor Day. Which happens to be the subject of conversation that we're going to have with John. If you want to share in today's edition of Town Call, we want to hear your thoughts or questions for the professor, 844-967-2789. And there's a piece that's got probably the best lead that I've seen in some time now, Will. You found it, so I don't want to steal your thunder. But for the hot day that is going to be Labor Day forecasted across the state of Wisconsin, let's share the article that we'd love to discuss with the professor on this Thursday afternoon.
I appreciate that, Luke. I also appreciate Harold Meyerson over at the American Prospect for giving me this excellent one-off line. The piece titled, Biden's NLRB brings workers' rights back from the dead. A decision last Friday makes union organizing possible again. Hot labor summer just became a scorcher.
That is a lead.
Last Friday.
That is a lead right there. I love it. Hot labor summer just became a scorcher.
Last Friday, the National Labor Relations Board released its most important ruling in many decades in a party-line decision in Cemex Construction Materials Pacific LLC. The board ruled that when a majority of a company's employees file union affiliation cards, the employer can either voluntarily recognize their union or, if not, ask the board to run a union recognition election. If, in the run-up to or during that election, the employer commits an unfair labor practice, such as illegally firing pro-union workers, which, of course, has become routine in nearly every election over the past 40 years, as the penalties are essentially negligible, the board will order the employer to recognize the union and enter forthwith into bargaining. Now, this decision was preceded by another one day earlier, in which the board also, along party lines, set out rules for representation elections which required them to be held promptly after the board had been asked to conduct them, curtailing employers' ability to delay them, often indefinitely. This might be one of the single most impactful labor decisions of the last, I mean, God, I'm not the historian here, Professor Shelton, that's you, but it feels like decades. It feels like decades. And what we are seeing across the nation is a labor movement the likes of which my generation has never witnessed. But as a young person, and you have some data to back this up that I'm sure we'll get to a little bit later in the show, this is what the American workers want to see, and it's exciting. It's really exciting to finally see a labor movement like this come to the forefront of American policy.
Yeah. Thanks so much for that, Will. You know, and first of all, for everybody who's listening to this, happy Labor Day. That's coming up this weekend. And really think about why we're celebrating that. You know, Labor Day goes back to 1886. It's a holiday that's been around and since that time. And you know, during that time, you had really the most intense political conflict in the United States at that time. Was the labor question, right? Who was going to do the work for the nation in this industrial era, and what terms were they going to work? And workers were organizing. So, you know, but between beers and brats, you know, on Sunday or Monday, like take a minute to acknowledge that. Let's get a couple things out of the way here. First of all, I mean, let me get some bad stuff out of the way first, okay? If I can. Biden has not been the most pro-labor president in like American history. Let's just like kind of start there. He has, especially through this National Labor Relations Board announcement and just the NLRB in general, like there have been some things that have really exceeded my expectations. But I want to start off by tempering this a little bit. First of all, you know, the imposed deal on the rail workers last December was, I think, a huge catastrophic mistake by the administration. The failure to put enough political pressure on Democrats in the Senate to pass the PRO Act, the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, to me is a massive failure of the administration, because, you know, one of the things that was in the PRO Act that you mentioned, the NLRB decision, which is very, very important. And I agree with you. It's very important and creates new opportunities. You know, one of the things that's in there is card check representation, right? And that's very much connected to the first one of those NLRB decisions that you mentioned. What card check does is it allows all the workers at a work site to effectively get union representation by checking a card, right? By basically kind of like signing a petition, right? But everybody's signing, you know, on separate lines, right? And it's not part of one document. And what that allows is it takes out all of the things that employers try to do to make it difficult for workers to win representation elections, right? And there's a whole industry created around this. Going back to the 1970s is really when it started. It's called the union avoidance industry. So corporations, when they have workers who try to organize and to exercise their right, it's not a privilege, it's a right that workers have to collective representation, right? When employers try to interfere in that process, there's a lot of different things they can do during the election process, right? They can hold captive audience meetings where they basically have all the workers in a work site have to, on company time, sit there and listen to whatever it is that the employer wants people to listen to, right? And it's a bunch of anti-union propaganda. They can intimidate workers who are leading the union drive, right? And they can fire them sometimes, right? We saw this with Amazon and we've seen this with Starbucks.
Amazon and Starbucks are the big two examples I wanted to note, yeah.
So going to a card check is really, really important because it takes away that power. What we really need is legislation that institutionalizes that because the next NLRB can reverse this decision. But for now, this is a huge deal because what this allows is, let's go back to the Starbucks example, right? Let's say the workers, sign cards, more than 50% of them sign cards. Starbucks says we're going to have an election. Well, if it's found that Starbucks fire somebody for leading a union drive, then the NLRB can say, hey, you engaged in unfair labor practice. Now, guess what? Those workers are certified to bargain and you have to bargain with them. So that is absolutely huge, as well as the other thing you mentioned, speeding up the time for these elections so that employers can't just sit there and hold captive audience meeting after captive audience meeting and bring in anti-union consultants and use all of these bad faith arguments to try and prevent workers from exercising their right to collective self-determination at the workplace.
And this strikes me a lot as I got to give a shout out to my 90s babies because I found myself referencing this movie frequently. But you ever see A Bug's Life, Professor Shelton?
I don't think I saw that one, actually. Should I?
All right, you'll have to go see that one then. So essentially the big baddie, which is the grasshoppers, they're significantly larger than the ants.
They rule all the food.
The kingdom.
Yeah, they eat all the food.
Right, and the ants are starting to kind of organize, and the king villain Grasshopper is talking to his second in command, and the second in command is like, who cares? We're bigger than them. We're stronger than them. Like, let them do their thing. And he goes, he basically says, if one steps up, then they all step up, and when they all step up, they outnumber us 10,000 to 1. What's going to happen? Our way of life will come crashing down. And then he breaks open the food container and kills a bunch of his, grasshopper friends when all the food, crushes them. And it's weird coming from Disney, of all places.
It's a cartoon, but yeah.
But it's a cartoon, and there's a lot of valuable insight that we can gather from those type of from a production of that quality, because that was true in the early 90s, that was true in the mid-2000s, in the mid-2010s, and it's true and even more relevant today.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, I talk about this all the time at my own workplace. You think about professors being people who are like somehow removed from, what's like from real labor, politics. But, we've had intense budget cuts against us, right? And everybody's having to do more with less. And what I keep telling people, and it's true, is our universities, but this is true for any workplace, doesn't function without the people who are doing the work. And we have all the power in the situation. So when we band together, we can demand the resources we need. We can demand the kind of workplace that we need. And the bosses can't really do anything to stop it, to your point.
Folks, you are listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We are joined for some Thursday office hours by Professor John Shelton, talking about labor with Labor Day weekend right around the corner. If you've got comments, questions, concerns you want to share and ask with the professor, we want to hear them here on Town Call. 844-967-2789. We're going to continue this conversation when we return.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. President Biden greeted union members in Philadelphia this Labor Day, among them Cleon Williams.
I want my children to realize, hey, listen, we're here, we're doing something. And more importantly, I want to bring them up in the area and the range, knowing that one thing, hey, listen, the struggle is real.
Mr. Biden says he does not think auto workers will strike next week. Thousands of people who got stuck in flooding and muds at the Burning Man Festival in Nevada could begin leaving today. This man still astonished by the massive rainfall.
You don't expect this kind of rain, and the effect, nobody's ever seen this kind of effect in there, ever, in the history of 1988 on.
The war in Ukraine is dragging into its 19th month. CBS's Imtiaz Tayyab is in Kyiv.
According to U.S. officials, there's been, quote, notable progress near the southern city of Zaporizhia over the past 72 hours. But the Kremlin isn't backing down.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin wildlife officials are looking for whoever shot and killed three trumpeter swans and a great blue heron in northeast Wisconsin last week. The rare birds are protected species. Wardens say it happened in the Navarino Wildlife Area near Clintonville. The sentence for killing a protected species in Wisconsin is up to 9 months in jail, $5,000 in fines, and a 3-year ban from hunting. The latest heat wave is breaking single-day records in parts of Wisconsin. Madison reached a high of 93 yesterday. That beats the previous record of 92 set in 1960. In Milwaukee, unofficial highs yesterday climbed to 95, which is technically tied with the record set in 1939. The National Weather Service says Madison would beat a 100-year-old record today if the mercury climbs to 94. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. The professor is in. It is Thursday office hours on the last Thursday, well, the last day in August. Boy, this summer has gone fast. Hot labor summer is in. It is a scorcher, and we are talking all things labor with Professor John Shelton. Professor, I want to provide a little bit of context, too, to the conversation we were having before the break regarding the two landmark decisions by the NLRB. And one of the reasons, according to the piece that we are covering over at the American Prospect, that these two landmark decisions came down last week was the term of one of the three Biden appointees, Gwen Wilcox, is about to run out. Board terms normally last for 5 years, but Wilcox was reappointed for just 2 years to fill out the balance of a term from a member who retired early. Once she's off the board, there will be just three members, since one of the board's Republican seats has now been vacant for nearly a year. When it only has three members, the board is forbidden from making decisions that change its rules. Now, the normal procedure for filling seats on the board is that an appointee from one party comes before the Senate for confirmation in tandem with an appointee from the other party. However, hoping to thwart the now Biden-dominated board, the Republicans, backed by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, surprise, surprise, have declined to put forth a nominee to fill the vacant Republican seat. They've been wagering that the anti-worker duo of Senators Manchin and Sinema would deny the nominee the 51st vote required for confirmation. However, the White House renominated Wilcox for a 5-year term, and Bernie Sanders' Senate Labor Committee has sent her nomination to the floor, with all the committee Democrats plus Alaska Republican Lisa Murkowski voting to do so. So it appears we were in a very unique procedural situation as well, where we were able to take advantage of hot labor summer right now. Timing couldn't be better, as we've been discussing. The labor movement across the country has been blowing up, and we're seeing official government entities supporting this, as well as a piece over from Market Watch noted, unions are key to reversing stagnant wages and economic inequality, Treasury Department says in first of its kind report. These findings challenge arguments that unions hold back growth, according to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. The decline of U.S. worker power since the 1970s has led to economic inequality and stagnant wages, and supporting labor unions may be the key to reversing that trend, according to the Biden administration.
Yeah, well, that's I'm so glad you mentioned all that, because that's huge. And, you know, like, I've had my criticisms of Biden and his labor politics, the administration, you know, but again, I think on the whole, it's exceeded my expectations. And, you know, I also want to tell people, like, there's absolutely no way I'm not voting for Biden right next year. I mean, especially given, which I know the work you did looking at the people who are running for the Republican Party in that debate last week. There's just no right. There's no way. And we'll continue to push. But you know, that first of all, the NLRB stuff, I mean, the folks appointed, as well as the general counsel, Jennifer Abruzzo, who has really pushed hard for workers' rights. She comes out of being general counsel for a union. And so she's done a lot of things to try and protect workers as they've sought to, exercise their right to organize. But that Treasury, the Treasury Department report was really, really important. And I think the concept or the context of that report is really important too, because, you know, when people think about the different departments, you think about departments like, I don't know, education and labor as being ones that are often headed by people that are seen as more advocates for working people and for, you know, different services that folks need, more liberal, right? To kind of, put a simple phrase on it. Treasury has traditionally been the department, especially under recent Democrats, that's been more conservative. That's been, you know, to use an academic term, neoliberal, right? Pushing for the interests of business above everything else. I mean, remember Tim Geithner under the Obama administration, who basically like bent over backwards to try and help out bankers when they had ruined our economy. So this is huge that you have a department under Janet Yellen saying that no, labor unions are actually good for growth. They're good for economic equality. They're good for economic security. These are things that folks, for those of us who have been studying this and who have been members of unions and union activists for years, we know this, right? And we know that not only are they good for growth, they're good for worker retention. They're good, for the principle of democracy, like making civic society stronger and teaching people about citizenship. So there's scores and scores of benefits of labor unions. And it's good to see the Treasury Department actually acknowledging this. and you know, kind of drawing a line in the sand there. Like, no, we not only are we going to tolerate unions, we want workers.
We support unions. Yeah.
And that is what makes, we were talking about this at the break, FDR the most pro-labor president ever, because, you know, workers understood under FDR that he wanted them to organize unions, that it was for the good of the country for them to organize in unions. And that's the message that we need to get from this administration.
So that there's good work being done, but there's even more that can be done. And let's say there's still time left in this term, and the president is seeking a second term in 2024. So maybe he's working his way up in the standings. But I was curious to know, when you said he was not the most pro-labor president in our nation's history, what your top five was. So it's good to know FDR at the top. But is there ability that you believe, Professor Shelton, that Biden can maybe continue to climb the ranks in those rankings between now and the end of this first term, or possibly the end of a second term?
I think he could. I mean, I'll give a shout out to my good friend, and I think your good friend too, Will, Harvey Kay, who points out that, you know, what makes a president great is, you know, his or her connection to what it is that Americans want, right? And so, you know, when I think about the most pro-labor presidents in American history, it's FDR, and it's, there's, you know, there's not really a close second. But I think you have to put Lincoln in there. I mean, fighting a war and pushing the American people to end the institution, the horrific institution of slavery, hard to imagine, you know, something that is a more important development than that. And that's a pro-labor development. You look at presidents like Harry Truman, who vetoed the Taft-Hartley Act. Unfortunately, it was overridden, but that's a law that took away rights from workers in 1947. And Truman pushed for national health care, like really pushed for national health care and a guaranteed job for all Americans. So I have to put those three ahead of Biden for sure. But I think, you know, one of the things that is going to help us, as was the case with all three of those people, is if we as working people push Democrats and push the president to be more pro-labor and to ensure that we have the kind of governmental infrastructure in place to get the kind of power that we need, right? I mean, Lincoln didn't just out of the blue start opposing slavery. He did it because there were abolitionists. There were African Americans who were streaming into the Union military in order to smash the institution of slavery. Douglas was telling black men, join the army now and let's crush slavery, and pushing Lincoln to do that. Workers were organizing like crazy in the 1930s and pushing FDR, to work with Congress to pass the what eventually was called labor's Magna Carta, the Wagner Act in 1935. So I think it's kind of a push and pull, right? It's not that Biden is going to do any of this kind of on his own initiative necessarily, but if we keep pushing, we can make him, I don't think he's ever going to be FDR, but we can get him closer to that, which I think is what we should be striving for.
And in that vein, both you and Will were referencing ahead of the show this morning, talking about the polling where there is growing support among young individuals in particular as well when it comes to support for unions and for a union and workers' ability to strike. Can you tell us a little bit more about those findings and what kind of growing sentiment we see here in America to support and demand from elected officials to take stances on issues and be pro-labor?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Luke, because this is super, super important. As we think about Labor Day, 71% of Americans, 71%, this is polling that was just done, it's being released for Labor Day by the AFL-CIO, approve of labor unions, while only 19% disapprove. 91% of Democrats and half of Republicans, 52% of Republicans in this country support labor unions. 75% of Americans support workers going on strike, including 58% of Republicans. So no matter where people are across the political spectrum, they understand how much power their bosses have and they want to organize to do something about it. That is huge. And when you look at young people, right, this was the very premise of your question here. This, I was stunned when I saw this. Not that I was surprised that young people would support unions because they're facing some of the most insecure, unequal labor conditions that anyone maybe historically in this country has faced, or at least on
you're telling level. Us, John.
And I know, you know, I hear from my students all the time, man. 88% of people under the age of 30 support labor unions, and 90% of people under the age of 30 approve of strikes, support strikes. So, I mean, you know, the days of the Jeff Bezoses of the world running roughshod over all of us and you know, making our long-term outlook insecure and having people live with all this anxiety all day about what their future is going to look like, that's coming to an end, right? Because
God,
because
I you hope look so.
It is. It is. And it's, and we just have to make that happen. We just have to make it happen.
And John, it's interesting. Those numbers, they are staggering. And you pointed out across demographics, how much individuals, Republican, Democrat alike, support unionization and the efforts of the striking workers. Those numbers are higher than cannabis legalization, both from a Republican perspective, a Democrat perspective. And that's kind of considered, I don't want to say the no-brainer, but almost the no-brainer popular support issue nationwide that the vast majority of Americans all agree on. Those numbers are even higher than that. I also have polling data from Gallup from August 1st through the 23rd, specifically related to the auto workers and the television and film writers strike. 75% of Americans side with workers, while 19% side with the employer, 6%, of course, then replying indifferent or
don't know enough
either.
Information.
Yep. Turns out organizing a union is a better high than smoking pot, isn't it?
Who would have thought? Is that the new DARE line? Right, we're gonna go bring that into our schools. Like, hey, organize a union. Stay away from drugs. Say no to drugs. Say yes to unions. But television and film writers also were supported by 72%, and television and film actors supported at 67%. This is widely recognized as a necessity by the American public.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, because every single person in this country, unless you are literally like one of the top richest 100 people or something, feels, I mean, I'm sure y'all feel this. I'm sure everybody listening to this, you feel insecure about your future. You don't know that you're going to have a job and healthcare and housing and all the things that every single person in this country deserves. And whose fault is it? It's not, the economy is not the weather, right? The economy is constructed by people. It's constructed by people. It's constructed by us. But when people have more power, the wealthy, the millionaires, and especially the billionaires, right, they construct it in a way that benefits them. And that's why we have things this way. And what people are really waking up to in this country is that, you know, a union is not this like scary thing. It's our avenue for taking back our power and our agency from these people who have taken so much from us.
We're talking hot labor summer. Oh, go ahead, Will.
No, you go ahead, Luke. You go ahead.
We're talking hot labor summer with Professor John Shelton for our Thursday edition of Office Hours with the Professor. If you've got a question, you can call or text. We're going to get to some texts on the other side, but we are going to continue this conversation discussing historic decisions out of the National Labor Relations Board and all of the positive polling and updates that we have in labor while still knowing that there is room for improvement. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. Take us with you wherever you go this Labor Day weekend. We're going to finish the conversation with the professor on the other side, but give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass now today for full details.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized. Then the Carpenters Union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A state historical society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Bright sunshine expected this afternoon with a high of 92. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 72. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. High temperatures reach up to 92. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Low 80s Wednesday, with a chance for scattered storms. Upper 60s, cloudy Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 84 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
There's power in the fat tree, power in the land, power in the hand of the worker.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. It is office hours with Professor John Shelton, and it is hot labor summer. Hopefully, it's the hottest labor summer of your life so far as we continue on the labor movement throughout the United States. Professor Shelton, I wanted to touch on one last point from the Market Watch article that the related, of course, to the Treasury Department and their first-of-its-kind report regarding unionization and its benefits to the middle class. The report noted that unions benefit the middle class in that they raise members' wages by 10 to 15%, which also said that unions help to improve wages and benefits of non-union workers, affecting the well-being of many families and communities. All of that chips away at inequality, including racial and gender wage gaps. So this, unions are not just for the members of the union. It increases the quality of life for all American workers across the board. And it's specifically assists certain demographics that have kind of been left behind in the past. Janet Yellen specifically noting that black men have the highest union membership of any demographic rate, 13% to 10% overall. They've been hit particularly hard by the trends experienced as by the middle class as a whole, and may be particularly poised to benefit from unionization. As we've discussed, this is the first of its kind report from the Treasury Department, who also noted through Kamala Harris's appearance that trickle-down economics benefited American corporations and the wealthiest, but not really the workers. As the report pointed out, 18 out of the 21 types of occupations that are members of potential unionization efforts see weekly wages higher than those of non-union members, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The only three that aren't are management, business and financial, and computer mathematics. So unionizations across the board increasing quality of life for all American workers, according to the neoliberal Treasury Department, not just us here at Town Call.
Yeah, and here's the crazy thing, and I've said this too. Actually, I've been quoted in a number of business publications talking about this related to worker retention, right? And the so-called workforce shortage we have in this country, which is not real. It's a shortage of people who want to work in those particular jobs. But when workers have unions and they get higher wages and they have more long-term connection to their jobs, that's actually really good for worker retention. It's actually good for businesses to have that. And if more of them would just realize that, they would allow their workers and encourage their workers to organize. German companies like Volkswagen get that, by the way. So that's number one. Number two, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention this, because this week is this happened on Monday, the 65th the 60th anniversary of the March on Washington, which was this massive civil rights movement that what you noted in the report about the connection between labor rights and racial equality. The March on Washington in 1963 was organized primarily by labor activist A. Philip Randolph, who is one of the most important Americans actually in the 20th century, who organized the March on Washington, which was called the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. It was always about economic equality for African Americans. And as A. Philip Randolph said, we don't hear what he said that day as much as we hear what King said. He said, "What good does it do me to sit at a lunch counter if I can't afford to buy a hamburger there?" So unions, many African Americans and civil rights activists have understood that the labor movement was one of the best avenues for them to be able to improve racial equality in this country.
And it's not just wages, Professor. Unions have helped improve safety dramatically. As a direct example, after the passage of the Union-backed Occupational Safety and Health Act of 1970, the rate of non-fatal work-related injuries and illnesses from 1972 to 2018 fell fourfold, from 11 cases per 100 full-time workers to 3 cases per 100 full-time workers, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This is helping keep workers safe. It's helping improve their quality of life across the board. It is necessary.
Yeah, and do you know who signed OSHA into law in the early 1970s? It was Nixon, right? Mm-hmm. At a time when, you know, occasionally Republicans even understood the importance of working with labor unions.
There we go. We are having office hours with Professor Shelton. If you want to ask the professor a question, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. We got Brian in Suamico texting in, listening on WGBW, saying, "Hi, Professor, can you comment on anything that Tony Evers could do to help get rid of the anti-union teacher-hating laws of Act 10 that Walker, said something else, and his minions passed in 2011? Please also remind people what it did to Wisconsin teachers and our profession. There are now massive teacher shortages in school districts," and Brian notes he is a union member and a teacher from a suburban Green Bay district.
And that his daughter is attending UWGB in the fall.
Oh, cool. Well, Brian, have her take one of my classes. Thanks for texting and thanks for listening. There's a lot of things to unpack there. So first of all, let's talk about Act 10 and what it did. It effectively took away collective bargaining rights from public employees, including teachers. And, you know, what that means in terms of salaries should be obvious, right? Teachers can't really bargain for higher salaries. But even more than that, it's taken away the professional discretion of a lot of teachers, right? Because now administration can just basically come up with the handbook and say, this is what you're going to do. And teachers don't have any say necessarily in like what their professional development's going to look like. So it's huge. And it's led to, it's played a direct result in terms of leading to teacher shortages in this state. Teacher turnover is much higher than it was 10 or 15 years ago. And many districts, especially rural districts, these constituencies of Republicans struggle to keep teachers, right? So what can Evers do? He has, in both of his last few budgets, actually proposed to restore collective bargaining rights for public employees. I'm hopeful that there'll be a court challenge, actually, that might revisit this now that we have a different composition of the state Supreme Court. But long term, what we need is to do as the states around us have done, like Michigan and Illinois, and institutionalize public employees' rights to collectively bargain. And our unions are going to be pushing for that. And we're going to get that at some point soon. It's going to happen. So be optimistic, because we are going to dramatically improve our education system by restoring collective bargaining rights in the state within the next 10 years.
There we go. We thank you so much, Professor John Shelton, for joining us here on Town Call for this Thursday edition of Office Hours. If you missed any portion of the show, or you want to commemorate Labor Day over the long holiday weekend, share this episode of Town Call with your family and friends. You can listen to the podcast wherever you find podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or you can head over to the Civic Media app, civicmedia.us. You can click on the shows, click on Town Call, and all of our podcasts are there as well. We appreciate Brian texting in and all of our excellent listeners. And we really appreciate you, Professor, joining us on this Thursday afternoon.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Enjoy
the Labor Day.
Yeah, happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day, everybody.
Town Call.
Take it easy, party people.
We'll be back tomorrow for the most Wisconsin headlines of the week, 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
the worst day of my life.
The worst day of your life so far.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.